God's blessings to you as we study the scriptures again today and begin a new topic looking at the Christmas story and what the Bible actually says about what that story is all about. There's so much talk these days about Christmas, but we want to keep our focus upon what the scriptures say. And we pray the Lord's blessings as we do so today. Lord, be with us and bless us as we open the scriptures once again. We pray that you would lead and guide us and help us to see what they say rather than so many other things that we hear about and even think about and that can really be harmless in certain ways, and it can actually pull us far away from the truth that you want us to know and to believe in this Christmas season that's coming up very, very soon. Guide and bless our study and help us to be faithful to God and to his word and what we are talking about above all. And we pray these things and ask your blessing for each one of us. Whatever it is we are facing right now, we ask you to care for us in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Okay. As I mentioned in the little introduction, a lot of talk about Christmas in the time that's coming up very soon. For some, it's already started, in at least here in the United States. And the problem is that a lot of it is really not what the Bible is talking about. Because other ideas and other things have gotten in the way of all of that. And this is not a new problem. If you read in the early Christian church, you will find that Irenaeus, who was a church leader in the 100s AD, so not too many years after the time of Christ and the writing of the scriptures that we have, he wrote a book called Against Heresies, Against False Teachings. And he said, there's an indescribable number of secret and illegitimate writings, which people themselves have spread and have forged to bewilder the minds of foolish people who are ignorant of the true scriptures. All kinds of false teachings that Irenaeus had to speak against, and many others as well, even in the second century AD, not long after the time of Christ. And you think about, if you remember, in the early 2000s, the books that came out that were challenging the things of the Christian faith and going against them in very strong kinds of ways. A book called The Da Vinci Code and others as well, which took things that were written well after the time of Christ, even after the time of Irenaeus, most of them, and that are very, very different from what the Bible actually has to say. And lots of people paid attention to them, to those kinds of books and materials. And we have the same things happening today, especially with regard to the Christmas story itself. What we want to be focusing upon are what the Bible actually has to say in the weeks ahead, what's found in the scriptures. For as Irenaeus spoke about, even in the 100s AD, they've gotten away from the true scriptures or are ignorant of them. And again, in our world, we have lots of availability of the scriptures in this country, but not in other countries necessarily. And a lot of people don't really know. They hear a lot about the United States, but it's often about the wrong ideas about Christmas and what it's all about. And they don't have the true focus. So we want to spend some time looking at those kinds of things. Someone once asked me, where can you find the story of the little drummer boy in the scriptures? And there's a song about a drummer boy that's been a popular one in Christmas music. And the person was joking because he actually knew that it's not in the Bible at all, the story of the little drummer boy. It imagines a boy who wanted to give a gift to Jesus and gives him his drum, and it's a nice little story, but not a thing about that in the Bible itself. And there are so many other ideas that have crept in, or those who just want to avoid the real and true meaning of Christmas and have focused on all kinds of other things instead of that. And sometimes it gets hard to sort all of that sort of thing out. What is true and what isn't really true, even about the Christmas story. There's a popular show that people can stream in the United States now called The Chosen. And it takes Bible stories, and I've never watched it, but some say it's pretty good in certain respects. But what it does is mix in stories that are not in the Bible at all to make some points and to get the attention of people and so forth. And that can become, again, very confusing. You know, what does the Bible actually say? That we need to watch out, again, about what is true and what is not true at all. Show The Chosen can maybe drive people back to the scriptures to see what's true and what isn't. And that would be a good thing, to go back to the Bible. But that's really what we're talking about, is in the Christmas season, to actually read the scriptures themselves. There's a whole series of shows that are on what in the United States is called the Hallmark Channel. In fact, starting already in October, they have movies every single day, 24 hours a day, about Christmas. And they're better than many movies that one finds. They do talk about traditional values, though not all the time. They talk about family values and the importance of family and helping people out at Christmas and caring about people in a loving and caring kind of way. And they use Christian Christmas songs as background in a lot of things. And so there's some good things about what's there. But again, a lot of what is said just doesn't fit with the scriptures. There's a lot of talk about angels, but it's very different from the way the Bible presents angels and their way of helping. More focus on angels than upon the central message of Jesus in the scriptures. And there's a lot about human views and human thinking about Christmas and miracles of Christmas and so forth. The real problem is there's no clear message consistently of Jesus and what he came to do for us, which is really what Christmas is about. We could think of so many other things like this. The Discovery Channel that's available to a lot of people in this country, and so many other books and materials that are being written, and the Christmas music that is often heard today about Santa and reindeer and presents, a white Christmas, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, and you can go on and on and on. There's nothing wrong with those things. They can be entertaining, and we all would like, in this country at least, maybe to see a white Christmas, and it's kind of a tradition. But again, it misses the real and true message, and sometimes people don't hear that real message that the scriptures bring to you and me that are centered, again, in what the Bible has to say. So we want to look and see where are the Christmas stories in the scriptures, and focus at some places where we don't hear much at all, and even ask ourselves, maybe, why don't we? Because when you look at the four Gospels, the four biographies, you could say, of Jesus, there's really only two of them that spend a chunk of time talking about the Christmas story. and why would that be, and how do others present things? We want to look at all of that as well as we study together. And of course, you have to begin by remembering that God, in his wisdom, didn't give us just one story of Jesus and of the scriptures, but gave us four different gospels written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then other places where there are references also to Christmas and why it's important for us. That's how God chose to do things. And the basic story of the ministry of Jesus in some of the Gospels just begins with the baptism of Jesus and goes then to his resurrection. And we want to start with the Gospel of Mark and why that might be have been presented the way that it is in God's wisdom with John Mark, who wrote that Gospel. Some of you who've been doing these studies for a while have been with me when we've studied the Gospel of Mark, so you know a lot about that kind of thing. But it begins in Mark 1, verses 1 to 4. And if you have your Bibles, you might want to look at those. And it simply says, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Mark wants to focus upon the gospel, the good news of Jesus. That's really the important thing that's in all of the scriptures and what they all point to, God's saving work in Jesus. And Mark is just telling the beginning of that story, but he skips all the things about the birth of Christ and the early days of Christ. The reason for that might be that likely the Gospel of Mark might have been the third of the four Gospels written that already, again, there's argument about this because we don't know for sure, but probably Matthew was written first, and then Luke, and then the Gospel of Mark. Those in the Mark study know that the tradition is that Peter in the early church was in Rome, and it was near the end of his life, and he wanted John Mark to, and others wanted John Mark also, to write down some clear and consistent things about the importance of Jesus. And rather than repeating as God led and guided him, because again, we believe that all of the Bible is really from God, and it's God's way of telling things, God doesn't have Mark repeat the Christmas things that we hear from Matthew and from Luke, but just to start with John the Baptist, who was preparing the way for Jesus, then the baptism of Jesus, then moving on to his death and resurrection from that point. And the focus is upon that part of the life of Jesus. There might have been another thing that as you read through the Gospel of Mark, and we'll get into that as we go along here, that Mark wanted to make clear, and God through him, that there were things that were being said even in early days, apparently by some, and especially in times later on, about the Holy Family, about Mary and Joseph, and what was happening with them. And they were obviously very important. And we'll hear that when we get into the Christmas story itself. Joseph and his caring for his child, and the things that he did, and willing to marry his wife to be Mary in unusual circumstances, and Mary herself. The importance of her in being the one through whom Jesus was born into this world to be our Lord and to be our Savior. But sometimes those stories get distorted, and a lot more things are said about Mary and Joseph than what the scriptures again actually reveal to us. And we get some pictures from the Gospel of Mark, especially about the family. And they weren't always with Jesus and his ministry in quite the way you might expect them to. Again, those who've been with us in the Gospel of Mark already know this, but it's good to go back as we think about the Christmas story. Again, probably the third of the four Gospels, no need to repeat everything that other Gospels have already told us. And so Mark starts with the coming of John the Baptist. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, there was a prophecy that God would send his messenger before people who will prepare the way for the Savior, for Jesus. And his was the voice of John the Baptist, one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. It was the Lord himself who was coming. And again, we'll see that so clearly as we read on the Christmas story. This was no ordinary baby being born, but it was actually the Lord himself coming into this world to save and rescue his people. And then we hear that John appeared baptizing and calling people to repent of their sins and get ready for the coming of the Savior. That's the thing that Mark talks about in his gospel in Mark 1, 1 to 4. And then it goes on from that particular point. We might then skip on to Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. Again, if you have your Bibles, you could turn to Mark 3, 20 and 21. Because we hear some surprising things, as I mentioned, about the Holy Family. And again, they were holy in the sense of, we talked about that last week with being saints, they were holy in the sense of being accepted by faith in Jesus. And although they had a hard time coming to that, as we're going to hear. And so they were not holy in the sense that they were perfect. And again, this is one of the things that developed over time. The idea, especially that Mary was holy. She was without sin all of her life. And that she's almost second in command. Sometimes churches have said she was the co-redeemer of the world together with Jesus. And that goes way beyond what the scriptures actually say. We'll see that as we read the gospel stories in Luke and Matthew, and that Mary admits she needs a Savior herself because she was not perfect, and her children that are mentioned, the other members of the family were not perfect at either. Well, Mark 3, we hear in verses 20 and 21 that he went home and crowds gathered again to hear him because he was very popular in his early days in his work and in his ministry. And in this case, home, if you look at Mark 3 in the context, is not back to Nazareth where he was born, but it's rather Jesus coming to Capernaum, where he had a place where he would stay at times while he traveled around and did his ministry. And many think that the home was probably the home of Peter and his family and Peter's mother as well. And that's where Jesus came, and crowds gathered again. And in fact, that he and the disciples could not even eat. They were so busy, people wanting to talk with them and hear from Jesus. And he was doing miracles and healing people as well. Again, you can read about that in the Gospel of Mark and in all the Gospels, those things. And then we hear in verse 21, when his family heard about it, his family, which would have been living still in Nazareth, they went out to seize him, it says, Mark 3, 20 to 21, and they were saying, he is out of his mind. And the word for seizing means to capture him. Sometimes it's used even of arresting someone. But his family wanted to seize him and settle him down. They were saying he's out of his mind. Literally, the Greek says he is outside himself, almost like he's lost his mind. He's not acting like himself as he went around preaching and teaching. And they were not buying everything that Jesus was saying and the things that they were doing. And his family, even, was involved in this sort of thing. Again, it's very different from the picture you sometimes get of almost a perfect family along with Jesus. Scriptures do say that Jesus was perfect. He was without sin, and he lived a perfect life for us. It doesn't say that, though, about his family, and Mark indicates that as well. And it's important to know these kinds of things as well. If you look again in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, 31 to 35, we hear specifically that they came to, the family came to deal with Jesus. And 31 indicates his mother and his brothers came. So his mother Mary was there too, along with the brothers. And standing outside, again, where Jesus was at that time in Capernaum, they called to him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." And Jesus puts the emphasis actually upon those who are trusting the Lord, that's the family of believers in the Lord. And at this point, it seems as if his brothers, for sure, and maybe the mother of our Lord too, Mary, was having troubles with what Jesus was doing. And it was a struggle for her, and particularly for the brothers too. And the people sitting around and listening and following Jesus were doing a better job than Jesus' own family. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. And again, I'm just mentioning these things because it's clear when you look at the scriptures as a whole that it's not the picture of a perfect family at all, but the struggles his own family had. And if you would also look at the Gospel of John for a moment, John 7, verse 5, again, Matthew, Mark, that we're looking at now, then Luke, then the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 5. And Jesus is doing his work, and his brothers in 7:3 come to him and tell him to go to Judea, and that others should see what you're doing. But we hear in verse 5, that might sound good, but in verse 5 we hear, "For not even his brothers believed in him." They didn't really understand what he was doing and why he was preaching and teaching and how he was going to be the Savior of the world. And at this point, even his own brothers, even family members, really did not believe in Jesus. And we see that again as we look at Mark, back again to the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Mark 6, verses 1 to 4. Mark 6, verses 1 to 4. And on this occasion, we hear that Jesus went away and came to his hometown. And that would be the hometown of Nazareth, where, as far as we know, his family was still living. And his disciples followed him. And we hear in verse 2 that on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, the place where people would gather and hear God's word, the Jewish people. And this was the common thing for them to be doing. And Jesus followed those Jewish traditions as well. And in this case, he's given the privilege of teaching in the synagogue, kind of parallel to what we would call a church today. And Jewish people still call their place of gathering a synagogue. While many who heard Jesus were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands?" They just don't get what is going on here with Jesus. And now he is coming to the synagogue and saying amazing things, and they can't figure out where this came from. Because they knew him, verse 3, as the carpenter. And that was the occupation of his father. And as the oldest son in the family, the firstborn by the miracle of God, as we'll hear about in the Christmas story, Jesus also spent much time as a carpenter before he began his public ministry. And he is the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. And are his sisters not also here with him? And they took offense at him. So the people of his own community were rejecting Jesus at this particular time. And yet Jesus is preaching and teaching what he knows to be true. And even though they're very skeptical about him. And again, there are different views about the people who are mentioned here, but most, at least Protestant people and others too, understand that after Jesus was born through the virgin birth, the miracle of Mary having a child by God's work rather than by any human being, including Joseph. But after all of that, then most likely Joseph and Mary had other children in the normal way. And those are the ones that are listed here. That seems to be what the scriptures talk about. And then maybe most important as we think about the Christmas story again, Jesus said to them in verse 4 here in Mark 6, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household," which sounds like he's saying at this point, even his relatives and his own family were not really accepting what he was saying and doing. And the good news is we hear from other scriptures later on that that the family did come to faith, and clearly that is true of Mary and how she stands by Jesus when he suffers and dies. And you also have the brothers of Jesus mentioned after the resurrection, and that they too are part of the faith. And as far as we know, the Gospel of James, or the letter of James near the end of the New Testament, was written by the brother of Jesus, stepbrother technically, and that is James. And so they did come to faith later on, but they certainly didn't start off that way. And they weren't perfect people, and things often said about Mary are just not there in the scriptures. And Mark makes that very, very clear. And God, through Mark, because God was inspiring him to tell these stories and present these kinds of things too. And even though it's not technically part of the Christmas story, these things reflect on what is said there and match up with it. give us the picture that the scriptures give, rather than a lot of other stories and even some churches as time has gone on, where their traditions make Mary much holier and much more perfect than she actually was, according to what the scriptures say. And we could go on and on with this kind of thing, but we'll just have you turn for a moment now to the Gospel of John, John 1, 1 through 14. And here again, we have not a story of exactly how Jesus was born, but clearly John emphasizing he was born and he came for us. And in a very significant part of his coming that is talked about in this passage as well, in John 1, 1 through 14. Again, we don't know why God inspired John not to tell the whole Christmas story, but it's likely this is the last of the four Gospels written. Matthew and Luke, then Mark, and then John a little bit later on as well. And so it simply says in a simple way that Jesus was born into this world and that he came to be the Savior, but doesn't go into the details of the actual Christmas story that we have in Luke and then in Matthew. And again, likely because there's no need to repeat all of those things, because those scriptures were known and were available to people to hear them read and to know about them from earlier gospels that were written. John 1 just puts it very simply, but in a kind of poetic way, you might say. John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? It becomes clearer in verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word is a reference to God the Son, the second person of the triune God. For it goes on to say the Word was with God, John 1, 1, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. In other words, he was involved in the creation, together with God the Father. And we know from Genesis, the book of Genesis, first book of the Bible, that the Holy Spirit was there too. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one true triune God, because that's how the scriptures speak. They don't use the word triune, but it means three in one, because you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit present at work in the creation, the Word is God the Son. And if you remember, the book of Genesis says God made everything by simply saying, let there be, and it happened. It was the Word of God by which all of that happened. And there was uniqueness to the birth or the creation of the first man, Adam, and then the creation of the first woman, from the rib of the man, as you find in the book of Genesis. So some uniqueness there, but it's still what God declared and what he wished to have happen. That's what it means when it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So very clearly God the Son is God, and that means that as he came into this world and became flesh, he was God, as well as a real human being born of the Virgin Mary. And he was in the beginning with God. He's always existed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So it's a strong focus upon the importance of God the Son in the creation as well. Not just God the Father and not the creative work of the Holy Spirit also, but the Son too. And he was there at the beginning. He was working throughout the whole Old Testament, you could say. Verse 4 of John 1, in him was life. That's how life began, through the creative work of God. And the first people were created by the miracle of God. In him was life. For all the things we have on our earth that are alive, and the life of the first people as well. And the life was the light of men. And God created the lights, the sun, moon, and stars, and we couldn't survive without the sun and its light, and all those things that were the miracle of God, but also the Word there and the Holy Spirit there as well. And that light shines in the darkness, verse 5 says, and the darkness has not overcome it. So you have all of that as kind of a prelude in a beautiful way. And it really is a parallel in some ways to the book of Genesis, God's original creation of all things, and the triune God at work in that, and God the Son simply saying, and through him all things were made, and that God did that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is the light. And then as Jesus comes into the world, it's a new creation or a recreation, and we'll be focusing upon that as we go along here. And I think we'll stop here for now and give you a little time to think about these things and consider this a little bit. And then we'll continue next time with the rest of John 1, some of the things that are said there, again, about the Word, and that the Word became flesh, and why that was important, again, based upon some of the other things that other scriptures say, before we even get to the actual Christmas story itself. Again, I hope this will be helpful for you in realizing that there's so much that's said and presented in the United States, but often presented as the spirit of Christmas in many other countries as well. And people get they get an idea, but it's not often the real and true idea of the scriptures, of the center of Christmas, which is the coming of God the Son, the Word, who became flesh for us to be our Savior. We'll talk about this more, and we'll close with prayer. Lord, we live in a world that's confused about many things when we compare what the world says and what the Bible has to say. We pray that you'll help us to keep coming back to the Scriptures and to know how important our Bible studies are too. And that in your wisdom you gave us four Gospels, and they don't tell us all exactly the same stories, but together they give us what we really need as God's people, according to your wisdom. And maybe we wouldn't do things this way, but that's how you have. And so we pray that you'll help us just keep looking at all the Scriptures and how they fit together and how they reveal what the birth of Christ was really about for us and for our salvation. Again, guide and bless us as we continue to study, and keep us confident in your promises in Jesus, and not to get sidetracked by all the other kinds of things we hear about in this season and time. Bless us as we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.